Thank you, Mark, for leading our worship and song this morning, and thank you, Bill, for your communion comments. We're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper, but I first want to ask you, what is going to happen? I've got it on. What's going to happen when the calendar goes from 2014 to 2015? We set some goals. What's really going to be different? We may set some resolutions, but what's going to be different? I want us to look at the Lord's Supper this morning, but I want us to remind ourselves, where did it come from? And so we'll journey back into the book of Exodus in chapter 12 and see the instigation of the Passover. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one of each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share with one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males, without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire. With the head, legs, and internal organs, do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it." Now listen to this part. "This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and a staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Because on that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction, no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it, from the first day through the seventh, must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food to eat for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. And hear these words: and when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." And that last part, oh, if the Bible were filled with more of that. "Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." But do you hear that legacy that they leave into generation after generation? Let them teach. Let them answer the children's question, what does this day mean? That the Lord was faithful, that the Lord could be trusted. that He protected us, and that we obeyed His commands. Now let's return to that upper room, and we'll use the passage in Luke in chapter 22, and I'll begin in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, or Passover, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Now let me stop for a moment and return to Egypt, because surely the disciples were thinking about its origin. What were they leaving? They were leaving a life of slavery. What were they gaining? They were gaining that knowledge of God. They were gaining that personal freedom to be able to worship God as God intended. They were leaving a wicked and sinful world, beginning life anew, even becoming a new year for them. And what a great beginning that would be. Being able to gather at Mount Sinai, to be able to receive His commands. But let's continue in verse 14 of Luke 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles, they reclined at the table. And He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me, my body." In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who was going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed." And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And again, I'm reading the same verse over again. I apologize for that. Now look at what Jesus was doing. Taking that Passover, taking that bread, in a sense, of repurposing that, making them think of it anew. Before, we had no time for leaven. We needed to be ready, packed up, ready to go. There's still little time here in this Passover, in this Lord's Supper, as He takes His body, this bread, and refers to it as His body. As He takes a cup and blesses it, "This is my blood." And they can't possibly know all that it means, but they know something is going to be different. We know the rest of the story. We know how He is betrayed. We know how He is put in front of these kangaroo courts. We know how He is whipped and a crown of thorn placed on His head. We know how He was crucified. We know how He died. We know how he was raised again anew. And our lives do change, just as they've changed for the disciples. There's something different this year. We're in Christ. He's died for our sins. There's a new beginning. There's hope. But let me also go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 and read verse 23. For I, as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, desperately trying to straighten out so many things, but certainly the Lord's Supper is one of them. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for which you is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take a moment. From our vantage point, we can look back at that first Passover, and we could leave a message with them. You know, that idea that you could travel through time and talk to them. That when we have that advantage of knowing what the rest of Scripture says, what would you tell those people as they left Egypt, as they had observed that Passover? What would you tell them? I came up with my own list of things. You may have a different list, but I said, number one, trust in God. Trust in God. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. If you're thirsty, He'll give you water. When you're hungry, He will give you food. And even if you complain about that, He's going to send quail. When you receive His words, follow them. Follow His commands, trusting in Him. Do what God says. And most assuredly, when He leads you to the promised land, go for it. Don't hold back. Don't have fear. Now, this is really not a lesson that we're going to be able to give them. This is a lesson that an entire generation of Israelites had to lay down in the desert to deliver. Because they didn't always trust in God. They didn't always follow His commands. They didn't want to go to that promised land when it was time. They became afraid. They couldn't see possibly how they could do that. It is that generation that speaks to us today. The same principles. Trust in God. Follow His commands. Follow Him all the way to the promised land. So let's look for some more lessons. These are lessons from the past. Number one, how did they eat that first Passover? They were tucked in. They had sandals on their feet. They had a staff. They were ready to go. They were to eat it in a hurry. One question for us today, are you ready? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to go? Are we ready for what God has planned for us? Now, when I'm ready to go on a trip, I'm thinking about all the things I've got to pack, but I've gotten to where it's just too much. I sit in my car and I said, "Honey, how many kids do we have? Do we have them all?" Now, you say, "That's pretty simple." I said, "Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted." Now, what did I do? First, I looked to my wife. I looked to my children. Can I look beyond that? How about my neighbor? Are you ready to go, neighbor? I looked to my fellow members in my church, a local church. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to trust in God? Are you ready to heed His commands? Are you ready to follow Him into that promised land? That great and wonderful place that He has prepared for you. Another question I have for you. Where was the lamb this morning? It was an integral part of the Passover. We broke the bread. We drank the cup. Where was the lamb? Well, you know the answer. Jesus is our lamb. Jesus is our sacrifice. And it isn't interesting that when he was raised, there was no body left. He was raised from the dead. In the same way that they consumed all that was left over, Jesus, the body, is gone. The tomb is empty. Where is your lamb? He sits at the right hand of God, right? Waiting for that day when he will come and collect his bride. That's where our lamb is. Thirdly, as it said in 1 Corinthians, will you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes? Will you proclaim it? Will you go to all those you meet? Will you explain the joy and the enthusiasm? Will you explain the destination where you're going? How beautiful heaven must be. What a glorious land in the presence of God. Will you proclaim how Christ paid that sacrifice for you through his death and how he was raised from the dead? Will you proclaim that message the rest of your life? Now today, I still ask you again, are you ready to go? If not, why not? What's keeping you? Are you thinking, but I've got something else to do? But there's something in this world that I want to see accomplished? Have you spent the time looking to around you? Saying, but I want to make sure that this person, I want to make sure that my son or my daughter, I want to make sure that those around me that I love, I want to make sure that they go. Get them ready. Be prepared. But remember, Jesus has made the sacrifice for all. And our duty, our responsibility, our call is to continue to proclaim that. If today you really want to begin anew, you really want to live the rest of your life as a new era, a new time. Trust in God. Obey His commands. Follow Him to the promised land. Won't you do that now as we stand and sing?